That's one of my favorite camp songs, I guess that's what we call it. And I guess the reason why I like that song so much is it teaches kids at a very little age that Jesus is something. I have a lot of friends, but Jesus is my best friend. I may have an issue. Jesus is my counselor. Things around me may be going like this, but Jesus is my rock. I'm in need of rescuing, and Jesus is my lifeguard. That song teaches at a very early age that Jesus is something. More than anything in the world, as one who has the opportunity and the privilege to preach and to share a message, to ramble on for several minutes every week, that the thing that I hope the most is that everyone in here at some period of time, some point of time, maybe while we're here, maybe it's after you leave here, it's my greatest hope and passion that each and every one of you has an encounter with the living Christ. That supersedes anything, any agenda that I might have, any goal that I might have. I just want you to have a passionate encounter with Jesus Christ. And I so desire for you to emerge out of that encounter being able to say, Jesus is dot, dot, dot. Jesus is, you fill in the blank. Jesus has been, fill in the blank. Jesus is doing blank in my life. I want to afford you an opportunity to participate in the meditation. A video will be playing, playing a song in Christ Alone, and there'll be some images on the screen. You know, one of the things that has been taking place over the past 2,000 years since Jesus walked this earth, many have tried to portray Jesus in images, in art, in film, in song. And while this isn't a complete depiction of everything that's been drawn or written or sung about Jesus Christ, it's just a short snippet, and I hope it affords you an opportunity right now to take your index card as you're listening to this song, as you're watching the images flash on the screen, that you would take time to fill out on that card what Jesus is to you. What Jesus has done in your life. How Jesus affects you. How Jesus has changed you. You'll see an image of Jesus holding a sheep, and maybe there was a time where Jesus provided the most intimate leadership in your life. Or there's a picture there of Jesus reaching down his hand to pick Peter out when he fell, when he slipped and went into the sea. Maybe there was a time where you thought you were doomed and Jesus rescued you. I want you to take this opportunity in this meditation to indicate on this card what Jesus is doing in your life.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross.
Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
You open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just want to spend a few moments with you this morning, sharing with you from this letter. Is Katie Starr here? Where did I see her? There she is. Katie Starr. Hi. I shock you. What's your preacher's name? Randy Simmons. Randy Simmons at a men's retreat a few years ago. Got the pleasure to hear him speak. Randy Simmons is a preacher at the church where Katie Starr goes to in Florida. And he told the story of a Sunday. I don't know if you were there or not. I thought this was a hilarious story. But he told the story of one day he got up to preach and he was having some stomach issues. And would not believe that there came a point in the sermon where he literally had to look at the song leader and say, hey, you need to sing some songs. I got to go to potty. And he left. Now, I bring that story up because I'm having stomach problems. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if I motion over to this period of singing some songs, I just want to go get some water, okay? Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. If you want to, you can turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read just the first four verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We are considering the topic of evangelism and what it means to be an evangelistic church. Evangelism, again, is sharing the good news. And in our context, it's sharing the good news as it pertains to the story of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the Great Commission of Jesus from Matthew chapter 28 and concluded that our first step in evangelism is to go, move. And be active. Those who God is saving and using us to bring them to Jesus are out there, and we have to go. Last week, I highlighted some common fears that we share in our evangelism. Fears, fear of rejection or a fear of the repercussions that we may face. Fear that we might not know what to say. What happens when I'm right there in a situation to share my faith and I freeze up? What do I say? Look, I shared last week that we are not short of resources when it comes to evangelism. Great books have been written by those who are very gifted and talented in the areas of evangelism. But I want to draw our attention this morning to the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Corinthians, because in the beginning of this letter, Paul clues us in on an important aspect of his message and his tact with this particular church. Now, the Apostle Paul starts off this chapter 2 with, you know, I didn't come with you with wisdom or eloquence. Now, church, I don't want you to be fooled. Paul was a very, very intelligent man. He was a well-learned man. He knew his stuff. But he sets out to make a point to say that it wasn't with my smart, it wasn't with my degree, it wasn't with all these things I learned in my life experience that I came to you with. He explained his approach to his Corinthian friends, that his approach was built around a centerpiece, and that centerpiece is Jesus Christ. He made it clear that his initial contact with this church was all about Christ. Here again, this passage from the message. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Paul reveals some foundational things regarding evangelism here. Number one, the message. The message is very simple. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the message. Now, in our day and age of the church growth phenomenon, where we try to build our churches to be mega churches, to be 1,000 members, 2,000 members, what happens as a result of our addiction to church growth is we go out there, and when we go and we share a message about church. Our church is this. Man, our church has these programs. Our church has this preacher. Our church has this makeup. Our church does this. Our church does that. Oh, and by the way, yeah, Jesus. But instead, our message ought to be Jesus this, and Jesus that, and then this Jesus, and then more Jesus, and then some more Jesus. Have I told you about Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus, and by the way, church. Do you understand what I'm saying? That church becomes an afterthought after we talk about Jesus Christ. But in some ways, we've got it twisted. We find ourselves in instances of evangelism talking more about church than Christ. We find ourselves equating sharing our faith with sharing facts and figures about church. We talk about our theological stances on particular issues, all of which may be important, but it's not of first importance. Did you hear what Paul said? When I came to you, church, I came to you with what was of first importance, Jesus Christ. It is important to ask ourselves, does our message reflect our relationship with church or our relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we obsessed with facts and figures? Are we truly disciples who embody the life and message of Jesus Christ, or merely learning and knowing truth in the form of facts and figures? This is why earlier I invited you into a meditation within Christ alone. Invited you to take your index card and write something on it that reflected your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be the first to admit that there was a long period of time in my faith where if you ask me about Jesus Christ and my relationship with him, I had nothing to say. I'll be the first to admit that at the age of 13 years old, I was baptized, became a part of the Church of Christ, and I could tell you everything you wanted to know about church, its practices, its beliefs. But when someone asked me, so what has Jesus Christ done for you? I had nothing. I dare to assume that for many of us sitting here, that when it comes to what has Jesus Christ personally done for you, we often pause. We often think hard. We often have nothing to say. How Jesus has affected you, how Jesus has saved you, how Jesus has rescued you is important. Because when the unbeliever is tempted to be persuaded, what's going to persuade them to truly become a disciple, a follower of Jesus, isn't how good our church is. It's how Jesus has affected you. What's going to have a lasting impression on an unbeliever isn't how good the music is at church. It's important. What's going to have lasting effect when the good music kind of phenomenon wears off is how is Jesus personally affecting you? Your story about Christ must precede any information about the church. What I'm saying, church, is that it's hard to talk about Christ if we don't know Christ. It's hard to talk about an encounter with Christ if we haven't had an encounter with Christ. It's hard to talk about how Christ has changed us if we don't know how Christ has changed us. So for just a moment, no tricks, no gimmicks. Here's a question. What has Christ done for you, and what is Christ doing for you right now? And if you are fearful, or you feel ignorant of what to say to someone you love and they're not a believer, just start there. You have a script now. If you wrote on a card, if you don't know what to say to an unbeliever, start with your story. Start with the facts that you have identified of Christ's activity in your life. Start right there. He says, listen, I can't come with you with philosophy, and I can't come with you with eloquence. I can't come at you with all these great facts and figures. This is what I know. I was here, and Christ brought me here. I was lost, and Christ found me. I was sinking. I was drowning. Jesus gave me his hand and rescued me. Just start there. what has Christ done for you. Talk about how God has rescued you. Talk about how Christ has overcome your life with hope and peace. Talk about how you didn't know how to love until Christ. And if you're still having trouble repeating your story, here's the second foundation that Paul gives us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul lays it out that the source of his message is indeed what we've been talking about for several weeks, the Holy Spirit. You haven't studied and you don't know what to say. You rely on the Holy Spirit. So that when people come to Christ, it's not about all that you've done and all that you've said and all the tact, you know, the things that you've done and the tactfulness that you provided. It's all about the Holy Spirit working. It's all about God's power working. The message is Jesus Christ. The source of that message is the Holy Spirit. How many of you out here right now know that you had conversations and you talked to people and you didn't even know what you were saying? Because it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit giving you words. It was the Holy Spirit responding to the question. It was the Holy Spirit telling you to refer to that passage or refer to that story. The source, church, is the Holy Spirit. Read all the books you want on evangelism. Read all the experts and what they say about evangelism. But you can employ all those things. You can do all the, but at the end of the day, you give the credit, all of the credit, to God's power working through the Holy Spirit. Because that's the source. A couple months ago, I was invited to be a part of this website. It's a, I don't know if you ever heard of Facebook, or this is like the Church of Christ Facebook. You get on there and there's discussions and you can share stories and everything. And so I was reading through a lot of the forums, they have discussions. Someone will write a, you know, forum or discussion, you know, thought, and then people will respond to it. So I thought, man, this would be a great place to, you know, post something, some things I was thinking about. So this is what I wrote. It's about a month and a half ago. It said, greetings. It's called the Aka Network. This is such an exciting venue for Christians to spur one another in love and toward good works. Hebrews 10:24. I wanted to share this thought and hope that it would generate a spiritual and fruitful discussion. I grew up in the church and have found that most of what I know in my journey with Christ revolves around church doctrine. I can give book, chapter, and verse for our church organization, the origin of the church, the entrance into the church, etc. Most of this information is driven by our hunger for knowledge and a quest for things to make sense. Fortunately for me, when it came to Jesus, I knew very little. Consequently, my conversation about God with others was dominated with facts from Scripture about the church, and keen differences were drawn about the differences between my church, the true church, and their church, the denomination. Oftentimes, this led to debates and arguments. Now, I'm not trying to invoke a discussion whether debate and arguing is right or wrong. But I do wonder if our debates and arguments stem from our insistence to let facts about the church dominate our conversation rather than a display of living the life Jesus imagined for us. For instance, Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. John 13:34-35. How passionate are we as Christians in living this reality? Might a passionate display of love for one another be just as powerful a testimony to unbelievers than a barrage of facts about the church? How often have unbelievers witnessed Christians turning the other cheek? Okay, I've rambled on long enough. For discussion, tell me what you think of this observation. Do you think our churches place more emphasis on knowing truth, facts and figures, rather than embodying truth, living as a sold out disciple of Jesus? God bless. Look forward to a spirited discussion. Happy to report I got 9 responses, wonderful responses with wonderful discussion. But then it ended. So I began to scroll through the other discussions. And there was one discussion that had a question about a church doctrine. Okay, it was hand clapping. A conversation about Christ had 9 responses. A conversation about hand clapping had 2,000 responses. Do we place more importance on knowing truth or embodying truth? I think it's evidence by our discussion. Church, I'm just simply calling us to talk more about Jesus Christ. Church, I'm just encouraging us to take a look at our life with Jesus Christ and making that the talking point, not church. I love church. I love cool church. I like good stuff that goes on at church. That just cannot dominate the conversation. The conversation has to be real. And it needs to be, the centerpiece needs to be Jesus Christ. This is risky. Does anybody want to share what they wrote in their card? It said, Christ has given me hope. Does anyone else want to share what you wrote in your card? Forgiveness and compassion, a whole lot of stuff I can't remember. An answer for my sins. My strength, my shield, my sustainer. Savior, Redeemer, Provider, a rock for my life to be based on, my everything, loves me no matter how inadequate I am. A model of obedience. Is the one who holds me forever. Lives with me every day and actually does life for me. My comfort in time of stress and my discomfort in times of idle time. 36. A reason to be joyful at all times. I have to be honest with you. That sounds a whole lot better than our church has children's church. It sounds a lot better than, man, our praise team is awesome. Jesus Christ gives me hope. Jesus Christ is my life. In fact, He does life for me. What if in those moments where we know God is saying, say something, we start with Jesus. Remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip goes to the Ethiopian eunuch, God sends him there. And the Ethiopian eunuch is in his chariot and he's reading Isaiah. And Philip goes to the guy and says, hey, you understand what you're reading? This is in Acts chapter 8. You understand what you're reading? No, I mean, how can I understand unless someone shows me? So he showed him where he was reading. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah. And the scripture says that Philip started right there and did what? Preached to him Jesus. pray that we won't be known by our knowing of truth, but our embodying of that truth that is Jesus Christ. That the centerpiece of our conversation, as we share this gospel, share our faith, when we go, that this centerpiece will be Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we will have numerous encounters with the living Christ, and that we would seek these encounters everywhere that we go. God, help us to draw from these encounters and these experiences. Help us to draw from them as a way to share the hope of the gospel, the hope of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, frame our discussion around Jesus Christ. Father, may our talk be dominated by Christ rather than church. May church be an afterthought. It's important, but may it be an afterthought. May it come after we talk about Jesus Christ. Father, help us to motivate and encourage one another by sharing our story, our encounters with Christ, with one another. May we be encouraged to share outside of this circle to those who don't know you or want to get to know you. Thank you for being our Lord and our King. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to encourage you all to, if you're not in a small group, to participate in a small group. And I want to encourage you to take your cards, if you're in a small group, to your small group tonight. There is a point in the small group time that I'm asking you to kind of share why you wrote what you wrote as a way of discussing with your members in your small group, and again, as a way of encouraging one another. You need Jesus to be something in your life. We want to give you that opportunity to ask us to pray for that. If you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian, you want to know what to do, we want to sit down, we want to talk with you, we want to pray with you. If you're hurting and you're in need of a healing hand of the living Christ, we want to urge you, beg you to come as we stand and sing this song.